And this is lesson two of spiritual warfare. We ended lesson one, and of course what we established in lesson one is the fact that are there really demonic powers at work in the earth, and are there angelic beings? And we covered that in lesson one, and we saw that the Bible explicitly declares that there is an invisible spiritual realm at work and at battle here, not only in the heavenlies, but on earth as well. And of course, you and I are the targets. So we established that angels and demons do exist in the kingdom of darkness with Satan, its demons, and unregenerated man, and in the kingdom of God with God, the angels, and of course, born-again man that are serving his kingdom. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that the devil does go around as a roaring lion, seeking to devour whom he will. So we see that absolutely the enemy is out to get us. We cannot declare detente. You are either being a victim or you are moving in victory. There is no in-between. And so we are grateful for the fact that he has given us the power to overcome. To understand spiritual warfare, as you know, you first have to acknowledge it is real and that we are in a battle, like it or not. And once you acknowledge this battle, then you realize that you need to understand the enemy's strategies, his strategy for attack, his strategy of the traps that he sets, and his strategy for the weapons that he's used. Now, you've got to remember, he's much more advanced after 6,000 years than we are after a short period of living in this kingdom. So understanding his strategies, his attacks, his traps, his weapons of the enemy, we now can identify the camouflage and cover before he strikes to catch us unaware. Because remember, he's invisible, he stays hidden, and he pops up through people, places, and things you'd never expect. And this is why God told us in Hosea, the first portion of chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge." And it is an incredible thing when you think about it. The world and the God of this world has made everything else so important that for people to come and try to learn about what you're learning here is really a slim minority that do that today. Everything else, with this witty invention by the God of the airways, the prince of the power of the airways, it calls him, has stolen and blinded the minds of men. The next verse I want to read is in Proverbs 4 and 7. So talking about people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. Not because the knowledge isn't here. It is here, and I know every church is probably teaching it. Wisdom, which means insight and judgment, is the principal thing, Proverbs 4 and 7. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So God's word declares to us that it's not just wisdom we need, but understanding. So I'm going to put this verse in modern day English. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. That means insight and judgment is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In other words, get insight, get judgment. But with all thy getting, get discernment and comprehending. Understand what you're looking at. Understand what you're seeing. And I'm going to get to something I came up with that I think really spoke to me. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. The difference between a victim and victorious is someone that has wisdom, knowledge, understanding. A spiritual concept of absolute truth concerning knowledge and understanding that I've come up with in my own life. Now, those that are listening by podcast, you don't get the privilege of seeing the pictures we're showing, but on the left is a picture of a railroad track. There's a line at the beginning of the track and a line down the track. And the question is, which one of these two lines is longer? Well, I'm going to answer it for you. They're both exactly the same length. Now, there's no way you would know that unless I told you or you got out a mirror or you knew we were trying to trick you. There's no way your human mind sees that. A spiritual truth is that we do not know what we see because we see what we know. I need to say that again, don't I? We do not know what we see because we can only see what we know. And I can give you an example. An antique appraiser, you threw it in the yard. You sold it at a garage sale. They knew what it was. You did not know what you were looking at because you didn't have the knowledge and the understanding of that item. When you go to the dermatologist because you've got a wart on your back or a sunspot, you don't know what you're looking at. But through knowledge, they see what they know. So the same scenario when one person observes it versus someone with wisdom and understanding is a whole different picture. And I'm telling you this because when you look at seasoned Christians, when you look at battle-worn and proven Christian born-again people, they see things that the novice does not see. You see what you know. Others, they don't know what they see. And that's a deep spiritual truth, and it's worth writing down. And you can take that through treasury agents that look at money. You just think it's money. They see what they know. No, this one's counterfeit. You can take that with a weatherman that discerns the sky and the clouds. Those are clouds. No, not to a weatherman. He sees what he knows. Most of us, we do not know what we see. Now that's deep. Hold on to it. So, it is the same with a seasoned spiritual warrior. A lot of times you can't understand. This is why Paul said we speak mysteries. Because what looks so right to one, the other recognizes as an absolute trap that's going to end in a shipwreck. And without spiritual knowledge and spiritual understanding, we're going to look at the three battlefields, you're a helpless, hopeless Christian. Because you will be snared. Because it's up to you to stay out of the snares of the devil. Christ paid the price. He sent the weaponry. He gave the power. But the rest is you're lacking knowledge because you choose to lack knowledge. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. Let me say it again. They do not see what we see. Because they do not know what we know. He has blinded their mind. The eye is just a reciprocal that things come in. It's the mind and the knowledge that interprets that. So, I think that if you can hold on to that. Spiritual warfare requires training of the spirit through knowledge and understanding that allows you to see what cannot be seen with one's eyes, but seeing what you now know. Remember, you see what you know. Others will not know what they see. And this is why 2 Corinthians tells us, pretty amazing as you begin to understand the mind of God. And that's what we're exploring in this class. So when we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen to most. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we are looking at the eternal battle. We are recognizing the end from the beginning. We are setting our eye on the prize. And I want my family to cross that finish line. And is there anything in this earth that's more important than that? Well, your life will say whether it is or not. Your actions will speak of what you really believe. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we, the church, are not ignorant of his devices. They're invisible, but they can be discerned. Ignorant. So what does it mean when it says that we are not ignorant of his devices? Well, ignorant means to lack knowledge and understanding. Cannot rightly discern what they see or hear. So we're all looking at the same things, but some are just looking at what they see. Others are seeing what they know. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light, Romans 7, and let's look at our spiritual battle plan. This morning we will cover one aspect of it. There are three battlefields that the enemy and man have to fight in. And of course we have the overcoming victorious power. We don't have to be worried. We've already won. We just have to figure out how to stay in the ship and use the weapons that he's given placed there with us. So these three battlefields that you're going to find that you must conquer, number one is the battlefield of the world. We are in a worldly battlefield, and we'll express in a moment what that word world means when used in Scripture. The next battlefield that we have to fight and overcome is in the spiritual realm. It is the spiritual battle. And then, of course, we have the battle in the flesh, the battle within us. So these are the three battlegrounds. And you feel free to take pictures of these slides. Now, before we proceed, I want to just say this. So anyone that's just listening to this lesson thinks, well, they're missing it. This subject is so vast. I want you to understand that demonic deliverance is not in the same category as spiritual warfare. We'll deal with deliverance in a much later lesson. And we have been involved in that. I've been involved in that several times. It has nothing to do with spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare, is so we don't become demonically possessed, is overcoming, resisting, and defeating the enemy and his attacks. Best defense is a strong offense. Trust me. The best defense is a strong offense, when the enemy knows. And so the reason that we're sticking with spiritual warfare and not demonic deliverance is this is to prevent demonic possession, legal grounds, which means when you have broached a certain actions, then you have given the enemy access to you because he has legal access. We're not dealing with that right now. And then, of course, casting out of devils and the need to tear down strongholds. That's not going to be in this lesson. So we are victorious over the works of the enemy when we overcome his tactics. And once again, a strong offense is the best defense. There are three battlefields, as we've said, which must be fought. Now, this gets a little more complex because these three battlefields must be fought in two different arenas. So that really gives us six types of battle, doesn't it? Three battlefields fought in two arenas. That sounds crazy to the world. The battlefield of this world, the battlefield of the spirit realm, the battlefield within our flesh. And these three battlefields are fought in two arenas. Number one, they're fought in the heavenly realm. And number two, they're fought in the earthly realm. Now, the enemy has perfected these three main assault tactics. So there are others, but they can really be categorized under these that I've placed as the three main assault tactics. His assault tactics are deception, accusations, and temptations. And of course, all three of these work together. Deception, accusations, temptation. And the three battlefields, the battlefield of this world, the battlefield of the spirit realm, the battlefield within our flesh, these three battlefields have fought in two arenas, the heavenly realm, the earthly realm. The enemy has perfected these three main assault tactics, deception, accusations, and temptations. And this lesson that we're going to spend the next 15 minutes on is going to cover the battlefield of the world, and Satan uses his three main assault tactics. Does the Bible teach this world is a battlefield? So are we making this stuff up? Well, we found out in lesson one that there really are, the Bible's replete, especially in the New Testament, with demonic activity and angelic activity and spiritual warfare. So now we're looking at, if that's true, then maybe the battlefield is the earth. Understanding the world being a battlefield and understanding these tactics that we've now mentioned can equip you and give you the knowledge to become victorious. And that's what Christ came to do. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. So in John 12 and 31, now is the judgment of this world, Jesus said, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So we see that the one that has rightful ownership of the earth and of man, this is why you've got to be bought, redeemed. Your price had to be paid. That we recognize that Christ himself is mentioning, this is a battlefield, but we've come to cast him out. So the definition of the word world as used most in the New Testament, Strong's, for those of you that don't have a Strong's concordance, I highly recommend it. There's several Greek words used for the word world in the New Testament, but the major one that is used is Strong's number 2889. It's where we get the word cosmos. And here's the different definitions that you can apply to that word when you read it. And you choose as to which definition should be applied to that word, because this is the way the Greek language worked. So when we're speaking of the world, it can mean, hey, the world, whatever that means in your mind, okay? It can mean the circle of the earth. It can mean the inhabitants of the earth, or it can mean the ungodly multitude, the whole mass of men alienated from God and hostile to the cause of Christ. So that's really the definition that we're looking at. It is the ungodly multitude, the mass of men alienated from God, and hostile to the cause of Christ. So I want to look at the following scriptures, and we are discerning, is earth a battlefield? Is the world where we're fighting? So the following scriptures, and they're not exhaustive of a long litany of scriptures that use the word world, going to shed light on the casualties of the souls of men that are trapped in its deception, because they look at what they see, but they don't see what they know. Because they don't know. Planet Earth's the first battlefield a Christian warrior must conquer. We're not going to cover the three tactics Satan uses on the battlefield unit. We'll save that for the next lesson. In this lesson, we need to identify beyond a shadow of any doubt that planet Earth is a spiritual battlefield. In the last lesson, we certainly established the fact that There is angelic and demonic activity in this realm. So 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God, because when we looked at the rest of the world, the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, obviously, you know, he's not talking about the earth's wicked. So you can apply the definition that we just gave you for the word cosmos. In James chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. I lost my coffee. You adulterers and adulterers. Now, he's not calling you fornicators. What he's saying is you become part of the world again. Know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Why is there such a stronghold on my life that I want to be accepted by the world? I want friends. I want this. I want fame. I want fortune. Let me say, whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So we're just strangers and pilgrims here. This isn't where we're supposed to be successful in our best life now, and we're going to be rich and famous and prosperous. You're going to have a real hard time proving that in Scripture unless you take a lot of them out of context and take them out of the correct position. I'm not trying to say we won't prosper as our soul prospers. So don't anyone miss. I'm not saying he won't provide. He does. But if that's your goal, then he's not the one providing it. Your goal, if you seek him first, then he adds these things. You've got to keep him first. I had a little preaching there. So, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. So it's a whole new thought process, whole new paradigm. Keep God first. 2 Peter 2, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them at the beginning. I think one of the things that you're learning in this class is this word knowledge and wisdom and understanding pop up all throughout the Scripture, and yet we have less biblical knowledge in most Christians on the earth today than we've ever had when we have the ability to know more than we've ever had the ability to know. And we've made it a feeling. And we're the laughing stock of every other religion. Because other religions actually have things they do besides good deeds. The heathen do good deeds. But when it comes to our faith, we've made it a feeling. No knowledge. James 1 and 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas has forsaken me. Why? He loved this present world and he departed. Galatians 1, 3 through 4. Grace be unto you from the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now, you know, God would not call this world evil if he was the God of it. But see, you're all of a sudden, you're going to see the Scripture for what you know, and not just be seeing Scripture. Because there's a huge difference. A lot of people look at the Scripture, but if they don't know how to put it together, they don't see what you see. So God doesn't call this world evil if it were not evil. You already have a destiny with death, hell, and the grave. You already have a destiny with... It's hard for you to confess that you were a sinner on your way to hell. It's hard for you to understand you're of your father, the devil. It's hard for you to understand he's come to buy back a group that will change bloodlines and walk obedient to the kingdom of God. Amen. He's not looking for flakes. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that we might what? Know the things. In other words, when I look, I see no longer what I would have seen. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom, the world's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. We compare spiritual things with spiritual. That's really kind of a tough slogan to understand. So let me put it from the transliteration from Greek to English. For we compare... Speaking spiritual concepts, we can use spiritual words because we have received the Spirit of God. This is why we speak mysteries. If I say, just as a quick example, what God really moved in today in our service, some unbeliever would say, did he pack a suitcase? Where did he go? We use spiritual concepts to explain spiritual things. And I don't have time to go on. I could give you many examples of that. Because we no longer are walking and talking in the spirit of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the prince of darkness, when he killed Christ, he didn't realize he killed an innocent man. He broke the law. The law says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Christ fulfilled that law because the princes of this world, not singular, plural, because they orchestrate or organized, had a plan, and they worked through the heavenly fear, and they worked through the worldly fear, and they worked through unregenerated man with all three tactics to accomplish the crucifixion of Christ. Let me get off that. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Why are we all so beautiful today? Because we want to look like the world? No, I want to look good for my wife. She dressed me, so God forgive me. I know this is a little dim, dull colors for me, green and purple. But anyway, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. John 17, 16. They are not of the world, Jesus speaking, and I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through truth. Your word is truth. I'm trying to get within our minds a concept that really needs to be understood in Christian churches. This world is evil. This world is not what you're supposed to want to associate with. Now, I'm not talking, he left us in the world because we're supposed to be light to the world. So please don't wear sackcloth and ashes and not shave your legs, ladies, and think that's false adornment, okay? I'm just trying to express that, you know, they're use some wisdom, but to get hooked on the love of this present world more than you are for the love of God. That's what the deception is. John chapter 14, I had to throw that in there. Even the spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it sees him not. Well, it's looking at the same thing we're looking at, but it doesn't know what it sees. It's a huge difference. 2 John 1 and 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world. 1 John 4, 3 and 5. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Wherefore you heard it should come now, even in the world. It's in the world. You're of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world. Therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. Boy, that's the truth, isn't it? Sheep know his voice. The world knows their father's voice. Nothing could be truer. See, you're being awakened, aren't you, to there is a spiritual warfare. You're understanding maybe there are things that I've left unconquered in my life that are can be conquered. Maybe I really can grow. Sure you can. You grow in knowledge, you're going to grow in faith. You grow in faith, you're going to grow in deeds. You grow in deeds, you're going to become powerful. 1 John 2 and 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How much plainer can the Bible be about all this? Titus 2 and 12. Teaching us that denying ungodly lusts and worldly lusts. Wow. Ungodly. There's ungodly lust and there's worldly lusts. John 17, 14 through 18. Jesus is speaking. And he says, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're aliens. We're pilgrims. We're strangers. We're sojourners here. This world is not my home. Johnny Wilburn left Friday at 5:20. He's where he belongs now. He's at the Father's house. I pray, now listen to what Jesus says, I pray not that you will take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil. See, we have been given collectively a task to conquer the kingdom of darkness. And spiritual warfare is not just to keep you out of demonic possession and oppression and strongholds, but it is to make you an overcomer that you can slay with the jawbone of an ass 1,000 demonic spirits. Amen. The best defense is a strong. When you walk in the room, the enemy should walk out. When you understand who you are and what's really going on, and you can spot demonic activity in people, in territories, in places, in thoughts. The problem, and I'm going to be very candid, my biggest problem with pastoring is I've lost too many people because they asked me for an opinion and I told them the truth. So I've learned I can't tell everybody the truth. They can't handle it. You can see where they're headed. When they tell you, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and you just shut up. Because you want to say, well, the Bible says if the Lord will, you better pray about it.
Right.
Well, it all looks good. Really? Let's see where you end up. And I don't mean that to sound like a cult leader. Please. It's just a gifting that God gives to his pastors. That'll really sound good online, won't it? My God, it's a cult. That pastor knows everything. I don't know anything except Christ. So in this lesson, we found out that the world is the first battlefield that we must become aware of. Our next lesson, we're going to cover Satan's main three tactics of warfare on this present battlefield. And you're going to find out he has many tactics. But I think trying for the simplicity of not overrunning our minds, you could categorize every tactic under DAT. D-A-T. Deception, accusations, and temptations. And these are what we will begin to unmask and unveil. So when we see them, we know what we see. And that's highly important, that we know what we see. One of the most dangerous places that I've observed in Christianity is someone that's been a Christian for a long time that was spirit-filled, and they haven't been back to their first love for so long. They haven't prayed in the Holy Ghost in so long. They don't have a testimony of an overcoming victory for so long. And now they are on cruise, and they do not understand. They're just about out of gas. That's not a threat. And that's not a put down. That is the love of God telling me it's time I get back to the source. Because the enemy will do everything he can to deceive you, to keep you from reaching the source, to accuse others to keep you from reaching the source. And then the final thing, he knows you're weak enough, the temptation comes. We're not ignorant of his devices. I hope something said here this morning will help you on your way. God bless.